Well, hello, darlings. It just feels so good to be here. I am just in joy right now. How are you all? I feel like this last couple of weeks has been pretty magnificent. And this season of Pisces, the final season of the zodiac wheel, I call it the death canal, the birth canal. It's the waters of the womb. We are held and supported in nature's arms, in the subliminal flow of the ethers and the fae and the merfolk. Like the Pisces is all that is ethereal. It is the universal womb. Very different to Cancer, who is the mother, the divine mother, the waters of the womb. Yeah. This is the universal womb that I'm speaking into here when we surrender in divine devotion to Pisces season, to the end, to all that is, to all that has been in this year that is now coming to closure. Pisces is the final death, and I think that it gets looked over quite a lot because Scorpio is associated with death, and more often than not, and absolutely because Pluto, the modern ruler of Scorpio, is very much Hades. We're talking about the underworld here, but there's so much more of a metaphorical death when we talk about Scorpio. The transformation, the phoenix, the rebirth. The retribution, the reckoning that we must move toward to face the truth, or the truth will destroy us. This is Scorpio. Pisces is different. Pisces is death. And Neptune can very, the modern ruler of Pisces is death. There's a dissolution of the physical body. You will see Neptune strong in death charts, as you do with Lilith. Yes, Pluto will be around. Yes. Oh, we have to look at many different things in death charts, but Pisces, Neptune, the end, we are moving through really big terrain. And I've been prepping everyone with this for the last year or so, with Saturn and Neptune both moving through Pisces. This is the final frontier. Like this is it. And I mean, this is one of the reasons I'm holding my Atlantis workshop too, because I really want to invite people to really tune into Poseidon here. And of course, Pluto being a transformer at the moment, depending on how he's activating your own chart, which of course I'm going to go into in my Atlantis class, which is coming up in March. It's a couple of weeks away now. And I'm feeling the build. I'm feeling the build of this Atlantis energy. People are still streaming in every day, purchasing the course. We're ready. Like, this is a collective. This is the collective rebirth and awakening to the remembering and the rise of Atlantis. Now, for some of us, we will be remembering this already, and we've already been living, still using the divine tools and connected into our Egyptian heritage, which has a lot to do with Atlantis, in my opinion. Atlantis for me holds these Egyptian codes, and when Atlantis fell, the Egyptian, so much was held in on the Egyptian lands and with the gods. And Pisces has so much to do with this. Pisces is the ultimate water in a way that it's the ocean. Yeah, like it is the full ocean. Think about the fish that represent Pisces. Often you see one floating and one underneath, and both going in different directions. And there is this sort of, connection to, are you floating on the sea of life or drowning in the sea of despair? And what one person thinks is heaven, the other perceives as hell. What one person feels sublime, where they feel elated with joy, the other treacherous terrain. I mean, perspective and perception has a lot to do with reality, yeah? And Pisces energy can dissolve all of who you think you are and what you are, and bring you to your knees. And with Saturn, the bone mother in Pisces, you know, until 2026, actually, right? You know, a big dissolution of time, of karma, of old stagnant prisons. You know, we think of the 12th house, which is mental asylums, which is prisons, retreats, escapism, where we're escaping the harsh realities of life. That is Pisces and that is the 12th house. And often, so often, you know, Pisces, the archetype, is the sensitive one. And of course, they're poets, they're speaking the language of the divine. But the sensitivity comes from the spikiness that can so often be, you know, can cause a great depression within their waters to not want to be on the earth anymore because the earth is harsh. It crumbles us. It reckons our souls. And to float in the ethereal hope, perhaps, that Pisces so effortlessly and seamlessly likes to do, you know, there's something gets taken away from the harsh edges of life. And that's why 12th house placements can be very difficult, especially if you've got Sun, Moon, Mercury, Mars, or Venus in the 12th. I mean, they're our inner planets. Our luminaries are the Sun and Moon, but those three planets, our Mercury, communication, thinking, doing, hands, you know, I'm moving my hands as I say this, which very soon you'll be able to see because these will be being recorded very, very soon as I do a bit of a, you know, I'm just going to give you a little hint, but there's, you know, a little bit of a relaunch coming to this podcast. And it's very exciting. And yes, the visual will be there, darling, if you choose to watch it on YouTube. That's where it will be. That's where it will be for your visual pleasure. So Mercury, you know, we need Mercury every day, we need Mars every day, and we need Venus every day. You know, those five inner planets, including the Sun and the Moon, which of course are not planets, but we call them planets in astrology, just keeps everything, you know, neat and tidy. They're our luminaries. The Sun is that conscious self, it's the purpose, and the Moon is that unconscious psyche, our desires and needs in a way that we want to be emotionally met, or how we ourselves will nurture others. Mercury, the planet of the mind, the lower mind. Mars, obviously, you know, we don't get out of bed without Mars. Mars is not just the planet of war, but action and movement. He initiates things, you know, he gets shit going, right? So we need Mars. And Venus, of course, money, you know, which she is them dollar bills, baby. You know, let's not forget that there's a very literal, you know, Venus is very literal sometimes. It is beauty and money, and I want things the way I want them. I am a hedonist, right? I want sex, you know, money and rock and roll, you know, like it can be very narcissistic, you know, if you want to say that word that I know everyone, you know, everyone these days is one, apparently. When that, you know, just because it's just another one of those throw out words. But I mean, I think if you've truly met one before, like, you know, that not everyone is one. But, you know, Venus can have this, you know, Venus can be very selfish, and so can Mars, you know, like we talk about Eros and Aphrodite, you know, we talk about these two, and there is this element of selfishness. They want what they want. But again, depending on what sign they are in your own chart, you know, that's going to depict how they come across. So, you know, all of these planets, you know, are our everyday. So to have those locked away in the 12th house can, you know, can be difficult to navigate because not that it's the end of the world, seriously. Like, is it the end of the world? It is the end of a world for sure. But you want to understand these planets in the 12th house. The 12th house is a direct line to the universe. Now, for outer planets there, you know, we can, I've got two outer planets there, so we can navigate this terrain very differently than if you have inner planets. But there is no such thing as a doomed chart, doomsday, it's the end of the world, as much as it might feel like it, for those 12th house planets. But it's just about understanding them, yeah? And this is where reality and fantasy can be layered. And this is Pisces. This is Pisces. The harshness of reality means we need to retreat. And for some people, they retreat through taking themselves away from reality, which is drugs, alcohol, yes, spiritual drugs. I put that straight in the same basket because, again, it's a form of escapism. If you need something to tune you into the divine and to God, you are escaping what is already here. Yeah. So that, it's just another form of escapism. It's shrouded in this, new age sort of like, no, I'm becoming enlightened when I do this. But no, we're removing ourselves further from the divine essence that we are. I'm speaking heavily into this because we've just had this Virgo full moon. This Virgo full moon of really tuning into the mundane reality and finding the magic moments there, knowing that magic is hidden in plain sight and remembering that you are magic. I'm deep in a cauldron of, oh my goodness, reverence, I think is probably the biggest word for me at the moment. Reverence and humility and divine devotion, because as I've already spoke about on this podcast, the discipline which comes from being that disciple of devotion has, is a strong player for me this year, which is the 8 year, the 8 year, which feels like God. The zero and the eight has this God presence, has this, just think about a zero, there is no beginning and there is no end. It is all encompassing, it is whole, just like the eight has no beginning or no end. When we draw a six, there's an open end. When we draw a five, two open ends, a seven, when we're drawing the numbers, we feel the frequency of those numbers. And an eight is the Ouroboros. This is the never ending, never beginning, infinity sign. I mean, that sort of says it lightly, but it feels it's the Ouroboros, as is the zero. It's the rebirth. It's the constant eating of my own tail, and remembering that I am God. And so any form of escapism, is escapism, right? Like let's just call it for what it is instead of putting these pretty shiny labels on it. Enlightenment is standing on the grass and connecting to nature. That's enlightenment. We don't need to be ingesting anything to take us away from our truest nature. But I get that that's hard. I get that. For some people, this is a strong part of their life, and addiction takes over. And we have probably all known someone, or are someone, or has been around someone with addiction. And it's not just an easy tie a little bow, I'll talk about it for 5 minutes. It's a very deep conversation. And I've been saying for a couple of years, you want to look out for your friends and your family and your community when it comes to depression and addiction over these next few years, because like I said, Pisces is the end. Pisces is death on some level. There's an immortality, but there is a mortality. And because we have Saturn, the bone mother, moving through Pisces, and Neptune, the modern day ruler, edging towards the final degree of Pisces this year, which we have never seen in our lives, unless you are 165. And if you are, call me up. Maybe our souls are 165, but like for our physical presence, we have not experienced Neptune at 100 and for 165 years at 29 degrees of Pisces, which is the end of the zodiac. Literally, we go from 29 degrees of Pisces to 00 Aries. These 2 degrees are significant. As maybe you've heard me speak about the anaretic degrees of 29 and zero in any sign are significant because it is purely the beginning of the Ouroboros and then the tail of the Ouroboros. So it is the beginning and the end, the 29 and the zero. But the 29 of Pisces has that different feel because it is the end of the end of the end. This is it. And over this year, we will see Neptune there, and I'll speak more into that when that's coming closer. Obviously, if you've got my 2024 kit, you can read all about it. I've given you the degree, I've given you the symbol. You can be so prepared for this year if you have my kit. That's why I do the things that I do. If you still have yet to get it, it's the digital version because obviously I've sold out. The digital version is $35. Like, you can download it to right now, right this minute, from my website, townie.com.au, and have it in your inbox. Like, it's that easy. As soon as you purchase it, download it immediately, so that it's on your computer, and scroll away, darlings. There's 200 pages, and you can learn about this degree as well. But of course, I'll be talking about it as well, coming closer. But I like to prepare people. So we're finalizing the full zodiac. And so over the next 18 months, not only do we have Neptune edging at this degree, finally getting there, but Saturn will move into this degree next year in 2025. Okay. And then Saturn and Neptune will hover between the two worlds of 29 Pisces and 00 Aries until they both finally ingress into Aries, Neptune for the first time in our lives, and Saturn for the first time in 30 years in 2026. But we will get the taste in 2025. Look, I'm already writing my 2025 kit. It is a huge signature. Like, when I shared with you all that this year is the exhale, this year is really about just anchoring in, yeah. Finding your own sense of steady, prioritizing peace, really being the pillar of your own life. I meant that. The next couple of years are going to be big. Astrologically, we're seeing huge shifts. Next year alone, we have the nodal shift. We have Saturn and Neptune both making an appearance in Aries for the first time in, 165 years and 30 years. Like, this is a big deal. But this year we've got the steadiness of Saturn just staying in Pisces, really holding his own in Pisces. We've finally seen him move past 7 degrees. We only got to Saturn in Pisces 7 degrees in 2023. He spent from March all the way through until recently, earlier this year, 0 to 7 degrees of Pisces. That's it. That's where he stayed. He hovered and retrograded in that space. And now he's going to move to this next decan this year. And I will again talk more about that as we roll through that. But we're feeling the enormity. So this Pisces season feels really big. And we are coming right off the back as I, you know, if I, as I record this today on the day out of time. It is the 29th of February. We only get this day every 4 years. And I know it's a Gregorian calendar thing, but it's still significant. In the liquid crystals, it gives us an extra day of pyrite. It's a numerology 11 day, 2 and 9, it is 11. Like, the whole day is not an 11, but of course 29 equals 11 for all of you who were actually born on the 29th of Feb. Like, happy birthday, happy 4 year solar return, right? But of course you have a solar return every other year. Of course you do. But there's this deep significance that we're tuning into, because this Virgo full moon on the 24th was really quite remarkable. It had me in tears of reverence for my life and deep reflection of really tuning into exceptionally how blessed I am. And me and my husband always talk about there's no such thing as luck. We have worked for 23 years in our marriage, not just on it, but in it. We prioritize each other, and literally, we've just, if you follow my Instagram, you would see that I've just been away. We've just had like a little staycation, literally 30 minutes from home, sitting by the pool, going to concerts that we love, having beautiful conversations, looking at each other, being present. And we've always done this. I mean, this isn't new for us. We enjoy and relish in each other's company. But this year it did feel different. And I think it's because of this portal that we're in. That full moon in Virgo really dropped me to my knees in surrender and bliss. It was cathartic. It was deeply healing. And for some, maybe revealing of, where again they are trying to escape normal living, and this is the extraordinary is the ordinary. And I think everyone forgets that, because people think extraordinary, I don't know, like, I don't know, actually, I don't know what everyone thinks, but there could be this element of, oh, an influencer or fame or money or cars or, this perfectly curated fucked up lifestyle that people put on Instagram or whatever. And even when, and thinking that there's this perfection in that. Hello, Virgo, this perfectionism that can come across. So maybe you've been edged with perfectionism over this past week, where you have to drop that. I think it's Audrey Hepburn who said, the word imperfect says I'm perfect. Like, it literally, the literally, like phonetic, not just phonetically, but the spelling of imperfect says I'm perfect, right? So it's dropping the facade, being raw and vulnerable and fucking messy, but also having inner stability. I think that it's rare. It's very easy to be unhinged and wild, and whilst that's not the sort of people I look up to, but because there's this real thing with like, oh, just so, yeah, just these really, maybe mentally unstable, but it becomes this big, like, yay, they're influencers. I'm like, really? Like, that's what people are wanting? It's quite bizarre to me. But I suppose I just, crone witch, earth mama, like someone who's deeply steeped in their own sovereignty, Lilith, these are things that I look for, but in people. But of course we're all different, right? So that's the joy of fucking, humanity. It's great. It's fucking great. I mean, we're all so different. We all look for different things. We all see beauty in different things. We all see influence in different things. And, I'm certainly not influenced by someone's life I would never want. And just because there might be fame or money or freedom of move, travel, all those sorts of things, those things don't woo me. But I've got Uranus in the second house. No one can ever woo me with things that probably most of society think of as successful. And when I discovered that, I mean, I already knew that because as a teenager, I was just like that. I was just like, I don't really care about those things, and why am I so different? Why do I care more about, who a person is than what they've got? Especially as a teenager, that can be quite a rattling place because so often teenagers are aspiring to be famous or like someone else. And I just never fit into that. I've never wanted to be like anyone else. I didn't have the aspiration to be like someone on TV or to look up to someone on television or someone that's famous. Everyone's like, oh, I wish that I could be that. And I'm like, oh, I don't. Like, I wish that I could be myself. And I think that because that's always, it's because my Lilith has always been so activated in my first house, I just don't have these aspirations to be like anyone. It's just not been normal for me. And when I understood Uranus in the second house, these are very a very different set of values. And if you are a fellow Uranus in the second house, you will get this. And perhaps if you're a Uranus moon, maybe even Uranus Venus sort of person. I've also got Uranus moon and Uranus Venus. So for me, it's sort of that triple fucking trifecta of like, nothing that you value is probably what society values. Anyway, like this time has been deeply steeped in reverence. And I hope that over the past week you have tuned into that because let me say the energy has been really significant. And like I said, I'm coming to you today on this day out of time, like on this extra day. Like I'm literally still in my underwear. I'm going to get a coffee. I'm actually just about to have a sip of water. I mean, it's 9:20. I should actually get out of bed. But like I said, I've been away with my lover, and the reverence that takes us to, we don't care that we're having a beer in a pub crying, like it's how we've always been. That's not something that's new or because we've been through trauma. It's just who we are. We're a very deep couple. And these few days away in this portal, have been remarkable. And like I said, if you followed my Instagram, you would have seen me putting some stuff up around our concerts and stuff that we've just been to. We literally just went and seen Queens of the Stone Age, which, like that's just fucking next level amazing. One of the best gigs we've ever been to. We've been to a lot of gigs in the last 23 years. And we also went to Chemical Brothers, and so good. Like, just, I mean, obviously two worlds apart, but both our worlds. And it was really fascinating. We were at a, a really cool little bar in Brisbane, and we just got talking to some people, and this husband literally said, he, would never want his children to move out because he just wouldn't be able to be with his wife. Like, it's like the children are a buffer, and he said that because he looked at us and was like, oh, wow, yous look like yous are having an amazing time. Like, look at you two and love, la, la, la. And, he was older than us, but, and his eldest child was only a little bit older than our eldest, who's obviously 26 this year. So, and he just couldn't believe, like, I think our connection. And he was just like, I could never do this with my wife. Like, my eldest boy still lives at home, and he's my, I get excited to see him every afternoon and these sorts of things. And me and Joel were like, yeah, can't relate. Like, we literally are away with our children at home. They're self-sufficient. Indy's nearly 18, of course, but like, for us, we have never not wanted to spend time together. Even when we first got together, going away for us and being with each other is, I've always said, a good marriage is friendship on fire. And the, you know, it's, yeah, it was just quite shocking to hear that, but actually revealing, I actually sort of applauded his vulnerability there, because I'm like, you know what, you are probably speaking for the masses. People might not want to say it, and you can see it because not a lot of couples spend time together, because they're distracted with the children, or they're in that mum and dad zone, and they don't prioritize each other or themselves. Whereas, for Joel and I, that just hasn't been the case. So, these few days has just, really humbled us in a way that, continues to take us onto this deeper level. And after 23 years together, it gets better. And that's what's just mind blowing. I laid at bed, I laid in bed the night, like, one or two nights before we actually went away. I think it was like the night before the full moon or something. I was so fucking, like, zingy. I was just like, had so much energy, so pingy, couldn't sleep. I was up until like 2 in the morning. But at one point, I was just laying in full reverence for, like, how blessed Joel and I are for what we have created. Yeah, we, for us, it's being able to be together, our three daughters, and, oh, just, there's just so much deep happiness, and it's not because of anything. And I think when you can be happy not because of something, like, you don't have something to look forward to, or you're not planning something, but there's just this deep, rich happiness within you. I would say that if you can honestly say that, you've reached a very beautiful milestone in your life. And yeah, of course, not every day will be that. It's just like, some days we need sunshine, some days we need rain, some days we need fucking wild winds, some days we need, smelling of flowers and coffee, and other days we need meditation and sex, and other days we need sloth on the couch. Every moment calls for something new and significant. And when you can hit spots in your life, like a beautiful season, I mean, I feel like 2024, hopefully, especially if you've, prepped yourself enough and you've done some really good work, this is a good season. I just want to say, this is a good season. And will there be days? I always say there's no such thing as a bad year. There might be bad moments, there might be hard moments, there might be grief, but what is, what in the brutality, what was beautiful? And when you can find that, and that is sort of the point of reference, then, we can move through grief or hard times. We don't have to disassociate. We don't have to escape it. We just sit with it. Fuck, today's a sad day. Okay, I'm sad. That's okay. Every emotion has its place and is valid, and everything is welcome. And when you welcome everything and don't dismiss certain emotions or ways of being or imperfections, something opens up. Something opens up that is profound. And, when you know it, you live it. You live in this alignment. And I must say, I've been living here for over 2 decades. And whilst, yeah, they haven't, of course, that the imperfection of the growth is messy sometimes. It's debilitating. But it's, incredible. It's incredible. Life is incredible. Life, as I wrote on my full moon in Virgo post, life is an altar. Every day is the ceremony. This is around the sacred and the sacredness of life. Finding joy, enjoying. I think that joy is, again, a really overlooked emotion. Because I think, again, it's this external validation of like, well, A, again, it's like when people expect other people to make them happy, and that's again something in my marriage that we don't do. Joel is not put on this earth to make me happy. Does he make me happy? Yes, of course. But that's not his role, and that's not my role in his life. And he taught me that very early in our marriage. Back 20 years ago, the wise Buddha that he is. But like we've said to our children a million times, we're not put on this earth to entertain you. Like, not that kids are bored these days, but it's just understanding the boundaries, understanding the energetic boundaries. And this sort of like segues me into what I, want to also be touching on too, with Saturn, the bone mother in Pisces, the final frontier. Yeah. And right now, as we're speaking on the 29th, Saturn and the Sun have had this Kazemi, and Mercury was involved yesterday on the 28th. Yeah. So we had Mercury, the Sun, and Saturn all at 9 degrees of Pisces. Now, when any planet is at the exact same degree as the Sun, it's called a Kazemi, meaning that the planet that is conjunct, which means coming together, conjunct the Sun, but at the same degree, is a Kazemi, meaning in the heart of the Sun. It's like, and I know I've explained this many times, but I also, for new people who haven't gone back and listened to other episodes, a Kazemi is like the king's castle. There might be many people wandering around the king's castle, but often he will only be speaking and giving messages to one person. So one person and one person alone is allowed into the king's room, is allowed access to the king's wisdom, to the king's stuff. He's the one writing the notes, he's the one delivering the other messages. So yes, the king's castle is full. There is a many, many people. There is only one that enters his room, and that is a Kazemi. When a planet enters the Sun, the heart of the Sun, it gets access to wisdom. It gets access to information. Now, I just want to say, look, if you weren't doing a whole lot yesterday when these three were exactly conjunct, it's not the end of the world. The Sun and Saturn are still in this Kazemi moment today, just for a few more hours. And but the initiation and the invitation to this little triple Kazemi portal is pretty magical. Like, it's a pretty magical time. This is around what's sustainable. Look at what's being revealed. What is spiritually sustainable is what I want to ask, though. Where is karma dissolving in your life, and you're feeling this sense of freedom from the shackles that maybe you've imprisoned yourself with? Again, I'm speaking really into that Pisces archetype. Dreams, idealism, higher wisdom. Neptune, who is the ruler of Pisces, the modern day ruler, Jupiter is the traditional ruler. Neptune is the higher octave of Venus, and Venus is about to move into Pisces soon in March, yeah. So this is higher love, and that is what Pisces energy is, this higher love. It's divine love. And that love itself can be blind, because there's an element of self-sacrifice in Piscean love. Because it's I'm this desire to serve. Remember, the Virgo Pisces axis is God. You are God, I am God. And that's, again, that's the space that I'm in. And each time I present, or I come on here, I hold a workshop, or whatever that is, there's a reflection of the planets that are moving through me or being activated in my chart. The season that we're in is Pisces season. It's the end. And if we think about what happens to people at the end of their life, what do they do? They do maybe think about their regrets, or they are in reverence for their life, or they're reflecting, aren't they? They're reflecting. And so this little portal from the full moon to even now, and of course from the full moon all the way to the new moon in Pisces, which happens on the 10th of March. I'll prep you more for that one next week on my podcast. But I mean, I do just want to say, look, the new moon in Pisces on the 10th fucking begins at eclipse season, my friends. So that full moon in Virgo was sort of the last full moon before we move into like eclipse season full moons. The next full moon is an eclipse at the end of March, and then we've got the new moon solar eclipse in April. And so we're not getting until that that final moon in April. The full moon in April that will be in Scorpio, that will be like the full sort of come down of eclipse season. So this waning cycle that we're in is like God. I don't know about you, but that's what I'm feeling. I mean, and I am God and you are God. Like, I'm not someone who says that, God is vengeful or above us or all those sorts of things. That's just not my devotion to God. My devotion is to that God is in everything and that we are all God. And when we realize that, something changes, that we are all God. And so this portal is really quite amazing. It's quite significant to have an outer planet, which of course the sun hits every single planet every year, okay, of course. But the fact that we're also getting the Mercury Kazemi as well, which is a part of the Mercury cycle, because now Mercury is going to, is moving back towards the Earth. And then he will retrograde. And we've got some big months coming up, let me just say. March, of course, eclipse season begins. April, we've got, Mercury in bloody Mercury retrograde in Aries. For pretty much the entire fucking month. Like, it's pretty crazy. We've got, we've got this Chiron North Node conjunction at the moment at 17 degrees of Aries. I mean, it's quite amazing. And again, I wrote about this on my Instagram if you haven't checked that out. But yeah, I mean, I probably should devote one whole episode to that because it's been quite exquisite. And it's activated for 17 days. The exact conjunction is early March. So yeah, maybe I will talk a little bit more about that next week. But it's deeply, deeply healing. And yeah, I've already written about this on my Instagram, so you can go and check out that Chiron Kazemi post. I think I pretty much put it up the day that they both hit the 17 degrees, and now they stay at 17 degrees of Aries for 18 days. So the healing is profound. I don't know about you, but it's profound. So not only are we in this like God fucking portal, which of course every Pisces season is, darlings. Like, this isn't like, oh, this is new, but I mean, within this Pisces season, it's quite special. We're having this triple Kazemi where we are being asked to look for magic in the mundane. Look, I know that it's the fucking cover of my, like, it's, I know I wrote a whole book about it, but the thing is that this is the true essence of living an extraordinary life. It's not this outward thing that people think. Now, those things are extraordinary. I remember watching the Ram Dass documentary thing called Becoming Nobody, and it's a skill to become nobody when everyone wants to become somebody. And yeah, it was just such a beautiful documentary that really resonates with me and how I actually live my life. So, again, living sacredly for me is more important than showing you all on Instagram reels, my practices or my altars or the things that I'm doing. That has a lot to do, again, with my own personal chart. I have Jupiter and Saturn both in my 12th house. So my devotion to God, to the divine, and as a disciple of the universe, doesn't need to be on display. A lot of people's do because they've got social media and they think, oh, I want to show you me meditating. I'm going to show you my this, my blah, blah, blah. And it's like, okay, if they're needing validation, I mean, the hollowness that will never be satiated through that sort of stuff. But when you live sacredly, there's just a difference. And you can tell when you meet people that live it and that just expose it. Yeah, there is a very significant difference. And I mean, again, I think a lot of astrologers and myself included have been sort of preaching that be very discerning with who you're following, who you trust, who you are giving your attention to, where you're getting your information from, who you're paying. The light of the spiritual entertainment industry is becoming exposed, and it's great. It's so good that all of that is falling. It's sort of like the fucking Roman Empire or something, right? It's like it's falling, and the people that have been anchored into this for a long time, and that's why this Atlantis stuff is becoming so prevalent as well, like the ancient voice of the earth, and the trajectory of working with Atlantean tools for this next 20 years. Especially if you haven't been, I think that that's where the things will start to shift. I mean, already it's like, oh, sound healing heals people. Well, duh. Like all of these things for, I say a chunk of us, but it's probably, quite a small chunk. We have been doing these things for 20 years, and yes, they become popular with mainstream, but for some people, it is just normal life. Like it's how they've always lived. But yeah, this rise of Atlantis is a big part of, even Saturn and Neptune moving into, especially Neptune, more so, moving into Aries. So this is the beginning. So right now, with this triple Kazemi, which is, slowly just dissolving, they're still conjunct there though. Maybe today on this day out of time, you are tuning into the magic. You are, excuse me, getting. I'm just gonna have another little drinky because I've done nothing but talk. Find the magic that's hidden, because that's where the magic is. The magic is hidden. Remembering your own inner magic. Remembering that you are magic, that everything that you are is a vibration and a signal to the universe. Always, 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 always. And this Kazemi is really beautiful because obviously, it's like I said, it's normal. We will always have the sun hit Saturn, and then, the sun will do all of those things. And then this Mercury Kazemi, so maybe some messages or some things are landing for you. Maybe it's just listening to this today that was somehow a message. Yeah. And that's awesome if it was. Like, and if it's not, again, just let it go. If things I say don't resonate, like really just, it's okay to move on and unsubscribe, unlike, do all those things. I've been doing a lot of that this year. I hope that you have as well. Because it's important. It's just important to understand the hygiene of which you are in practice, with Hygieia also in Pisces. I mean, we've got a lot of shit in Pisces, the sun, Saturn, Neptune, of course, Mercury at the moment, the new moon, which happens on the 10th of March. So we're going to have the moon in Pisces then, for a couple of days, 2.5 days as well, in Hygieia. So we are looking at our own spiritual health, spiritual boundaries. We are being asked to maintain, our level of devotion to whatever it is that we want to become the disciple of this year. Maybe that's meditation. Maybe that's taking some beautiful tinctures from, that my go-to girl is Yantra Lab. Maybe it's having some liquid crystals, devoting yourself to a sort of a 1 month practice of liquid crystals. Maybe it's clearing out the clutter, both physically, metaphorically, literally, which then moves into emotional clutter, mental clutter, yeah, heart clutter, energetic clutter. So Hygieia also being in Pisces, again, like we're getting this real deep scrub. Yeah, it's like we're, scrubbing our soul clean. And with this Kazemi that's just happened, Saturn's asking us to anchor in. And as much as it feels like, oh, because Saturn's in Pisces, like it's all just all spiritual fluff. It's like, no, his invitation is to anchor that, to not escape that. And that's what I was saying earlier. Like, it's easy to escape, to run away from mundane reality, or do drugs, or, do all those sorts of things. Like, that's easy. Like, anyone can do that. And I'm not speaking of addiction here. I'm speaking purely into this sort of spiritual land, okay? Because, like I said, I can't cover all addiction. But it's, and it's a very big topic, right? And it's a serious one. And like I've said, with Saturn moving through the final, he is finishing a 30-year era. That's what's going on. Like, this is big. And then we've spoke about Pluto, as we start seeding something for 20 years, which again feels too big to comprehend. But let's just be honest, we're in March already. For any of you who are in business, mate, I still haven't done my tax for the last financial year. I mean, I'm doing it. I'm doing it. I've got my accountant all ready to go. But the thing is that we're just about to hit fucking the new financial year, and it will be here before we know it. And I said that about this year. And although maybe every year feels like a blink and miss it year, this year, the acceleration, the spiritual quickening and acceleration is sort of next level heightened. Okay, like it is. Like, we've got some incredible alignments. Yeah, like, again, they're all in my kit. You can read all about them right now for $30. Like, it's seriously like just a no-brainer. But the Chiron North Node conjunction, which we're in, we are deeply steeped in that. I really will. I'll share a little bit more about that next week. I'll share about that in the Pisces new moon next week. That'll be my little what I do for you guys next week. This Uranus Jupiter conjunction building. Jupiter is moving closer and closer to Uranus. Fuck, what a time to be alive to be a Taurus. Let me just give you all the hot tip, because for some Taurians they could be 70. So yeah, they're still going through this incredible transformation. For some, we're 40s. For some, there's kids that are in their 20s going through this, and they're not even going to know the enormity of it, especially if they're not into astrology at this point, until maybe later in life, where they go far out like that, that chunk where Uranus, because remember, Uranus is in Taurus for the first time in 84 years. I mean, he's coming to the end though. Like, he's literally coming to the end. In 2025, he dips into Gemini, and then he dips just back into Taurus again. So that's why 2025 is a very interesting year. It's a fucking interesting one. Writing about the energy, it's very skewed. Let me just tell you, like, we've got this real sublime sort of, again, the eight in this collective 8 year. That's what it sort of feels like. Whereas, draw a nine, baby, like boom, like there's a full stop at that nine. We're in a collective 9 year next year. We've got three of our outer planets dipping into new signs, dipping back. We've got the eclipses changing, So this year there's this steadiness. And I don't know about you, but I'm feeling it. It feels fucking like this is the season. Like, this is a really, really good season, the whole year for us, depending on what you do with it. Because, I can't promise you anything. Like, everything depends on what you're going on through in your own personal chart. Like, what are these transits doing for you? But I'm telling you, fuck, what a time to be alive as a Taurus, especially like a shitload of Taurus, like what I've got. Yeah, it's just Uranus, Jupiter, fucking, it's wild. And Jupiter's going to move into Gemini in, the end of May this year, So relish in Jupiter and Taurus. Let me tell you, like, this is sublime, fertile, nourishing, nurturing, expansive from a heart level. It's deep, it's rich. We're going to go from this very rich, embodied, practical Jupiter to one that is highly cerebral, right? Highly mental, lots of anxiety, very, very quick, 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 quick. Okay, you're going to feel the difference once Jupiter moves into Gemini. So, honestly, just I want to say relish in this. I mean, we're not going to have Jupiter in Taurus again for 12 more years. I mean, I'm already keen on Jupiter in Cancer. Like, I'm already like fucking like let's just move. No, I mean, look, Jupiter in Gemini is going to be great. It's a great transit for me personally, but But I'm mentally stable, my friends. You know, for those who are not mentally stable, and I'm not laughing at being not mentally stable, but I'm like talking spiritual community here. Like, for those who are fucking like just, you know, this is going to be hard. This is going to be hard. And with freaking Saturn and Neptune both in Pisces, all of this mutable energy, you know, people aren't going to know if they're Arthur or Martha unless they've got a strong constitution. And this is what I'm talking about, the energetic strong constitution. Of course, mental health, fuck, I know it very well, you know, so you can't come at me with anything that I don't know or don't have intimate experience with close people in my life. So I was joking in that laughy way of oh, these people think that they've, you know, like in the spiritual entertainment industry, right? Like Jupiter comes into Gemini and fucking all of a sudden, look out, look out. It is Jupiter. For starters, Jupiter doesn't even want to be in Gemini. Like Jupiter in Gemini, detriment, not a place he likes to be. But we can make some really good headway if we are, again, constitutionally and energetically stable. So that is what this first half of this year is giving us. You know, find the stability with Jupiter in Taurus, my loves, because it will hold you as, you know, as we start this, you know, these new cycles that are coming up, yeah. But yeah, there's just this magic. There's just this magic that is right here at our fingertips with this, you know, with this triple Kazemi that's just happened in Pisces. Like you can feel it, like my fingertips are buzzing, like I am buzzing. Jupiter and Uranus both in Taurus. Again, it's a very visceral, visceral signature of planets moving through the most physical sign that there is to exist. Okay. Because it's the body. In a different way to, than Mars, which, you know, this is the physical feelings, the sensations that is Taurus, right? So to have Jupiter, who just fucking expands everything that he touches, Uranus, who's shaking it all up. We are in huge, huge times, but I just want to say, get your energetic, emotional constitution strong this year, especially before we move into next year. I mean, next year, you know, Jupiter and Cancer, I mean, that's just looking sublime, darling, sublime. But yeah, it's still a very, very askew, interesting, eclectic year with so many of those outer planets dipping into the new signs to give us a taste before dipping back. So yeah, this is the year of this inner stability, this internal solace of anchoring in to really what you want for life. You know, what do you want with your life, for your life, as you grow older, as you move forward? What is it truly that is significant for you that you desire? Because we will have a Saturn Sun Kazemi again next year. This time it'll be at 22 degrees of Pisces. This one was at 9 degrees of Pisces. And then after that, 2026, you know, we've got this Kazemi in Aries, which again is going to feel very, very different because Saturn in Aries is also in his fall. Saturn in Libra is exalted. So whatever sign a planet loves to be in, the opposite sign is where he is more uncomfortable. Okay. And it just means it's not bad. Like I said, there's no such thing as doomsday, bad things, bad positions, but there's just uncomfortability. And from one of my astrology teachers, Kelly, who said it the best, she's just like, you know, it's just like going to work hungover. You know, like if Saturn in Libra is like exalted, like it's like you are on, like I am fucking firing away, like this is Saturn in his exaltation. You know, of course, all planets have their exaltation sign. But then the opposite of that is Aries. So Saturn's going to be in Aries, and it's like, eh, you know, I'm fucking feeling hungover. Like I'm feeling indulgent, self-indulgent. You know, this is Aries, the first sign. But what I'm really feeling too as Neptune moves into Aries is, yeah, like I mean, that's a whole nother podcast episode or many, many episodes. But I just want to say that, you know, I hope that you're really plugging into the God, the reverence, the reflection, the reality. You know, that is what sun Saturn is. It's reality. It's finding structure or restructure, having boundaries with yourself and with others, but also dissolving illusions, dissolving time karma, dissolving harshness, but actually plugging into the abyss, plugging into the ethereal goodness, the energetic wisdoms that you can't see. So whatever messages have been coming through, especially like I said, since the full moon, really, pay attention to what this past week has been like for you. What has happened? Write it down. Write down the revelations. Write down the reality checks. Yeah? Because there is some sublime messages here that will take you forward. Like I said, this is around your own spiritual sustainability, what works for you moving forward into the future. So I just want to say it's so good to be here. Happy day out of time. I mean, 29th of Feb. We'll see you again in 4 years, darling. I hope you have an incredible week. I will see you next week, and sending you so much love. Bye.